Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at 8 o'clock, still tracking two major delays in the Triangle. I'll show you the alternate routes to save you some time this morning.
And low pressure that brought clouds and rain yesterday is moving out, but it has left some clouds. Those clouds are starting to break up in parts of the viewing area. I'll show you when we'll see sunshine and temperatures in the 70s.
And hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians will cast their ballot today on this Super Tuesday. We're breaking down everything you need to know before you head out.
The Raleigh skyline could be changing. The vote happening today that could allow for taller buildings along the planned Newbern Avenue bus rapid transit line. It's 8 o'clock straight up as we bring you inside the WRL studio here, and a Super Tuesday here, a lot to tell you about. Glad you're with us. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Before we get out to all of that, check out this skyline behind us over Dix Park. It looks a little ominous this morning, but meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner says that no rain expected for today. It's going to clear out. It's going to be pretty nice today.
It definitely is. Right now, we're dealing with a lot of cloud cover, but this low is moving out quickly. We're beginning to see the clouds thin a little bit in our south. Western counties. And of course, as that low moves away from us off to the north and east, this is where we'll start to see some clearing. So we'll see that clearing first in Southern Pines and then around the Triangle area, say 10 or 11 o'clock this morning, and the rest of the viewing area clears pretty quickly after that. We'll see temperatures in the mid 70s this afternoon with lots of sunshine. But our system that arrives here for Wednesday gets here by, say, early in the morning. We'll see that spreading across the viewing area during our morning commute. And some of the rain will be heavy at times. You see the yellow and red color contours. That's where the rain will be heaviest, with possibly a rumble of thunder, but we're not looking at anything severe. Once we get past lunchtime, it becomes more scattered in nature and less steady, but we'll continue to have the chance of a shower and the clouds will linger. Here's a look at future at Pinehurst right now, and you can see a little bit of sunshine trying to break through. It's still a bit damp from some showers that we saw yesterday. 57 is our current temperature, looking at 58 in Fayetteville, 56 in Rocky Mount, and 52 in Roxboro. So it's a mild start this morning. Just some cloud cover if you're about to head out the door, with clearing coming up in the next couple of hours. Sunshine this afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the weekend. It looks like Saturday could be a soaker. Brian?
Elizabeth, it is 8:02, and we are following breaking news this morning with a couple of crashes creating some pretty big delays in the Triangle. First of all, this crash on 40 westbound right around the Clayton Bypass. DOT now says everything's on the right shoulder right there at the bypass, but we're still seeing some lingering delays. I checked, and I think that this indication here on the map is from that original crash. This is not a second crash there right around 42. But you can see those big backups on 40 westbound. If you can pick it up from 70 or the Clayton Bypass, you're in good shape heading into Garner. Look out for some very heavy ramp delays building on Highway 42 through the Cleveland community this morning. It might save you some time to head on out to the Clayton Bypass interchange and take 70 westbound back to I-40, as opposed to getting stuck in that traffic right there in Cleveland. If you're in the McGee's Crossroads area, the backups on 40 westbound begin right around the Sanders Road Bridge. Consider using Highway 50 as your alternate route to save you about 15 to 20 minutes this morning. Also tracking a crash over on the eastern side of Wake County on 64 westbound between the Edgemont Road Bridge in Wendell and the 64 Business Interchange in Knightdale. Some flashing lights there in the distance. Lanes are open, but we're still seeing some backups coming in from Zebulon. About a 10-minute delay from 96 in Zebulon out to the 64 Business Interchange between Wendell and Knightdale. Consider using 97 to 64 Business as a good alternate route. We have some backups forming on Capitol Boulevard right around Hodges Street because of a crash there just south of the 440 interchange. It looks like traffic is getting by in that area, but expect to see some police activity. Also watching some building delays in Durham in both directions of 885 on either side of 885 right now, looking at about a 5 to 6 minute delay. If you're getting ready to head out, remember you can listen to us live on the radio anytime at 99.3 in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham.
Thanks, Brian. Polls are now open for North Carolina's primary elections. Hundreds of thousands of people will make their choices for who should be on the ballot for the general election in November. That includes for state and congressional races, as well as for president. Here's what you need to know before you go to the polls today. The polls will open. They opened at 6:30 this morning, and voting will continue until 7:30 this evening. And this year, you'll need to bring a photo ID to your polling place, and there will be a slight delay in getting results this evening. WRAL's Laura Levine joins us live from the Briar Creek Community Center. And Laura, there are some changes in place this year that people need to be aware of before they go.
Michelle, good morning. Here at the Briar Creek Community Center, there's about 8,500 registered voters, so there's going to be many of them stopping by. We saw a lot of folks earlier this morning. Take a look at this video. You can see just before 6:30, that line that was beginning to build up as many people were preparing to cast their ballot. Now, voters are required to show photo ID at the polls this year. That's a new change for most. People without an ID will still be allowed to cast a ballot in many cases, but they'll have to vote provisionally and fill out additional paperwork. It's too late to request a mail-in ballot, but people who have already requested them before the deadline and received mail-in ballots can also still send them in or hand deliver them to local election officials. But caution is warranted. Unlike in past years, the state no longer allows a 3-day grace period for ballots sent before the election to be delivered and counted. It will also take a little longer to see the results. For years, election officials have been able to count in-person early votes during the day Tuesday and then release that count as soon as the polls close, but lawmakers have changed that.
We will not see those results posted to our website until after 7:30 p.m. So for some, it may be 30 minutes. For other counties that have multiple early voting sites, it may be an hour to 2 hours before we see those posted.
And just a reminder, Republicans and Democrats must vote in their party's primary. Unaffiliated voters can choose one or the other. And voters can also take a look at a sample ballot. You can see that on the State Board of Elections website, or you can head over to WREL.com and just search voter guide. Laura Levine, WREL News, we're live in Raleigh.
And if you have any questions throughout the day, make sure to check out our WREL voter guide. You can find it on our website, WREL.com, and we have information on how you can vote, the candidates on the ballots, and what you need to take with you.
And a reminder, students in some school districts have the day off because of Election Day. Dozens of schools are polling sites and are open to voters and volunteers. Schools in Wake, Orange, Johnston, and those counties will be closed, as well as Chapel Hill, Carrboro City Schools. Students, though, in Durham Public Schools and Cumberland County Schools do have classes today.
And we'll have the fastest election results as they're counted on WREL TV, WREL.com, and the WREL News app. Look for updates on all the big races every 30 minutes after the polls close on WREL News Plus. You can find that on Channel 34, over the air, Spectrum Channel 1257, your smart TV and mobile devices. Throughout the night, on air and online, we'll have insight and analysis from our NC Capitol team. And for national coverage, NBC News will have a full wrap-up of Super Tuesday results from across the country at 10 p.m. on WREL. And our team of reporters will have you covered with the local races at 10 o'clock right here on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL.
Students at Wake County Schools may soon come home with information for parents on how to safely store guns. This plan to educate families on safe gun storage is something the school board will consider today. WREL's Kelsey Coffey shares the details, the reason behind this push to provide families with more information on firearm safety.
Offering resources and information to parents about safe gun storage. That's the topic that's up for discussion today here at the Wake County School District headquarters. Although it's not common for students to bring guns to school, it does happen. In the last year, at least three adults have been charged after a student brought a gun to school in Wake County. In February 2023, the mother of a Wendell Middle Schooler was charged for improper storage. Last September, charges were filed against a woman after a gun was brought to Lead Mine Elementary. And in December, a man was charged after a student brought a gun to Fuquay Verena Middle, then fired it through a window. We checked in with WREL Education Insider Emily Walkenhorst ahead of today's discussion. She says this isn't just about warning parents to lock away their guns.
It's also about reminding parents that you can be held responsible if your child does access a gun, especially if police later find out that the gun was not adequately or properly stored.
We're not expecting a decision to come out of today's meeting, just a discussion. And that meeting is scheduled for this afternoon at 2:30. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News, and Cary.
Next week, the WREL documentary unit debuts its latest film, Unsafe: North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence. That's what it's called. It sets out to uncover why kids in North Carolina are 51% more likely to die from gun violence compared to young people in other states. The documentary includes a personal story from a family who experienced the grief of gun violence firsthand. You can watch it on WREL, online, or on the app at 7:30 next Wednesday, March 13th.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WREL Live Center. The search for a couple who was at the center of an Amber Alert about a week ago, that search is now over. Take a look at your screen. This is the couple we're talking about. We've just learned that Justin Brown and Destiny Cawthorn are now in the Durham County Detention Center. They were taken into custody just after midnight. If you recall, a week ago, they were the subject of an Amber Alert because of this little boy. Their little boy, Jackson, who they took and was traveling with them. They ended up giving that little boy over to authorities, and they took off. And now we know that Destiny Cawthorn and Justin Brown are in custody. We're working to find out if they turned themselves in or where they were taken into custody. We will be reporting on this story throughout the day. Look for new reporting in our newscast, online, and, of course, the WRL News app.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Tonight, Raleigh City Council may vote to allow taller and denser development on hundreds of properties along the upcoming New Bern Avenue Bus Rapid Transit Line. The rezoning would affect 744 properties along the transit line that's now under construction. It would raise the maximum height on buildings from three stories to as tall as five stories along most of the BRT between downtown and Wake Med. Developers could go even higher if they include affordable housing or office space. City Council will host a public hearing on the proposal during its meeting tonight that starts at 7 o'clock.
Still ahead right now, 11 minutes after 8, Boeing's facing another round of headaches, what the FAA found in the latest audit and how long the company has to address the issues.
Plus, tumbleweeds are taking over towns in Utah. Coming up, what's behind the takeover and how residents are trying to get rid of them.
And it is cloudy now, but we're looking at sunshine and warm temperatures this afternoon in the mid-70s. It's going to be a great day for getting out and voting or anything else you want to do outside after lunchtime. Wednesday, on the other hand, is likely to be a soaker, especially in the morning. I'll show you how the commute is shaping up coming up. It is 8:15, and we're still looking at cloudy skies right now. This is all lingering from yesterday's system that moved up the coast, brought us some showers in eastern North Carolina, and kept some cloud cover with us for a good chunk of the day. Cloudy right now in Goldsboro and Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and in Fayetteville. We've started to see the clouds thin out a little bit in Fayetteville and down in Southern Pines. And gradually, we're going to see all of this clearing, but it may be closer to lunchtime in some places. There's the low that's bringing us the clouds right now. It is moving steadily away from us, and again, we're going to see some nice clearing. Very soon behind it, though, late tonight, early tomorrow morning, our next system will roll in, and that's going to bring us a pretty messy commute for tomorrow. Dual Doppler 5000 radar right now is dry. We had a few sprinkles earlier this morning. Now we're just watching the clouds moving on out. We should be pretty clear by lunchtime, if not before. It kind of depends on where you are. And then lots of sunshine through the afternoon with a high of 75, so really warm day, 15 degrees above normal. We'll start to watch the next band of rain arriving by the time we get to the at least the beginning of the morning commute, 6 a.m., we're starting to see some of that rain sliding in. It'll be heavy at times. You can see the yellow and orange color contours here moving across the area. The bulk of the rain that we see tomorrow is likely to be in the morning, possibly a rumble of thunder, but we're not likely to see anything severe. As we get into the afternoon, the rain's not over, but it's more scattered in nature instead of just widespread and steady. By, say, midnight or so, it's over. But again, a light shower is possible as we get into the late afternoon and evening. Here's a look at our potential rainfall totals for Wednesday, and we're looking at anywhere from about a half an inch to an inch and a half on our models. That's exactly what our forecast is. Our future cast showing another chance for rain on Saturday. Friday, we're cloudy. We'll start to see the rain approaching from the south and west and spreading across the area early Saturday. This is lunchtime. The bulk of the rain Saturday is likely to be down to the south from Raleigh northward. The amount of rain that we see will be fairly light until the evening. We may see one more push of that, say, overnight Saturday night. Sunday looks nice and dry with lots of sunshine. Should be a good day to spend some time outside. Temperatures will still be on the mild side. So our rain chances tomorrow, 100%. The bulk of the rain will likely fall the first half of the day. And then on Saturday, a 60% with the bulk of the rain from the Triangle area southward. Checking temperatures. Again, today is going to be the warmest day of the week at 75. We're in the mid-60s tomorrow with some showers. Thursday looks beautiful, though, partly cloudy and 72. Over the weekend, Saturday looks fairly wet and then Sunday dry, highs in the mid-60s. And don't forget, Saturday, we go back to daylight time, so we spring forward. Brian.
Elizabeth, just in, reports of a crash on 885 northbound right around Ellis Road. We'll get an update on that coming up in just a minute. Want to update you on those other big backups that we've been following this morning. First of all, 40 westbound right around the Clayton Bypass. Still have that crash over on the right shoulder, and we're still seeing some heavy delays coming in from the McGee's Crossroads area through the Cleveland community. 42, seeing some heavy ramp delays in both directions. If you can pick up 40 westbound from the Clayton Bypass, you'll be on the other side of those big delays. And if you're coming in from a little deeper in western Johnston County around the McGee's Crossroads area, consider using Highway 50 as a better alternate route. That'll save you quite a bit of time this morning. Another backup that we're following is over on the eastern side of Wake County. This is 64 westbound at the Edgemont Road Bridge there in Wendell, looking toward Rollsville Road and 64 Business. You can see some police activity over here on the right shoulder from that earlier crash. Still measuring about an 11-minute delay between 96 in Zebulon out to 64 Business in Knightdale. Consider using 97 to 64 Business and avoid using 64 westbound. That should save you a little bit of time this morning. Again, a report of a crash in the past few minutes on 885 northbound right around the Ellis Road interchange. Seeing about a 4-minute delay overall as you head in from I-40 this morning.
Thanks, Brian. North Carolina is one of 16 states conducting presidential primaries today for Super Tuesday. Heading into the big day, former President Donald Trump is adding to his growing lead in the delegates race. And for the Republicans, Trump won all 12 caucus sites in North Dakota last night. He's won nearly every race over Nikki Haley so far. Haley did avoid a complete sweep with a win in Washington, D.C. this weekend.
A third of people who are registered voters in North Carolina are unaffiliated. Today, they can choose to vote in either the Republican or Democratic Party. Some of them are unsatisfied with either option, though, and that could play a major role come November. Unaffiliated voters are the largest group of registered voters in North Carolina. The way they choose to vote in the general election will play a large role in which presidential candidate wins the state. Some of them are pushing for a different choice altogether.
I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden, and I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. And so I would prefer a third party candidate to be available. And I think a lot of people think exactly like I do.
Another campaign that's growing in the state is the Abandon Biden campaign. It's encouraging people who vote in the Democratic primary to choose no preference instead of voting for Biden, who is unopposed in the state. It's seen as a protest vote over Biden's handling of the Israel-Hamas war.
An FAA investigation of Boeing has found several manufacturing and quality control failures. An audit found issues in Boeing's manufacturing process control, parts handling and storage, and product control. The investigation was launched after a door plug blew out of a Boeing 737 MAX 9 plane during an Alaska Airlines flight in January. The FAA has given Boeing 90 days to outline its plan to fix the issues.
A massive cleanup is underway in Utah after thousands of tumbleweeds rolled into a residential neighborhood. Amy Ney has more on the locals' response to this.
Light rain is expected to stop in 29 minutes. I didn't even realize it was raining.
This is the first time I've ever seen anything like this. I've had a few in my backyard a few years before, but nothing like this.
There's just so many tumbleweeds we
There's
can't keep
road.
Up.
Local residents of Eagle Mountain amazed at the mounds of tumbleweeds that have accumulated right out their front doors.
This whole street was blocked off in two areas. Tumbleweeds, pile of tumbleweeds was almost as high as the first story on the house.
Glenn Philippar, a local LDS bishop in Eagle Mountain, out with young men and women in his ward to help with a massive cleanup effort. These piles are what's left after their service project Sunday.
They actually took the first load out the city.
Thousands of tumbleweeds blowing into these neighborhoods Saturday, some of them larger than 4 feet around, after our area's wild windstorm.
Now they're all in my front yard, blocking our street. We got home, then they started blocking this part of the street. That street was all blocked.
Eagle Mountain resident Michelle Reed Guerrera says it started with just a few tumbleweeds in her backyard on Friday, but turned into a much bigger problem.
People were trying to drive through them and got to the point where you couldn't.
And the cleanup effort, Michelle says, while admirable as far as how it's brought their community together, thanks to Mother Nature, has been a real mess.
After we had all these piles, then next thing we know, all the snow is piling on them. So now it's fun trying to move them with all this cold, wet, muddy ground. around.
That pasture area is completely open, and there's a lot of tumbleweeds in that area. So it just invaded the neighborhood. Yeah, there was no way to stop it.
They're planning more cleanup throughout the week after some of the strongest winds he's ever seen in this area.
The sky was very hazy, and it was full of debris. Probably some of the largest wind that I've seen here. Yeah, it was just straight line winds coming from the south, and that's exactly where the tumbleweeds came from.
Just an incredible sight there. That was Amy Ney reporting.
Frozen tumbleweeds, all that snow. Yeah. That's amazing. The polls are now open for the North Carolina primary election. Just ahead, a breakdown of the biggest races across our state.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Tuesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Brian Schrader tracking several backups on the road, a major one on I-40 westbound, Brian.
Coming in from Johnston County, an earlier crash now on the right shoulder of 40 westbound, right around the Clayton Bypass Interchange. Heavy delays begin between 210 and 42 coming in from Johnston County. If you can pick up 40 westbound from the Clayton Bypass, you're on the other side of those delays. Look out for some heavy ramp delays still on Highway 42 in the Cleveland community. And if you're coming in from McGee Crossroads, consider using Highway 50 as an alternate route to save you quite a bit of time. Also watching some delays on 64 westbound coming in from Zebulon. You can see here just beyond the Edgemont Road Bridge. Before you get to 64 business, some activity there on the right shoulder. I don't think it's taking 27 minutes in delays to make that trip from Zebulon, but you will see some significant backups.
We're seeing some cloud cover lingering from yesterday's system. Now, that system is exiting to the north very rapidly, but we have a deck of low clouds that's with us right now. Just give it a couple of hours and those clouds will break up, and we're going to see plenty of sunshine through the afternoon. They're still hanging pretty tough right here in Chapel Hill, though. It was a little damp overnight last night. We had a little light shower that rolled through, but the roads are drying out nicely. Weather, if you're headed to the polls right now, is in the 50s. They're looking at temperatures 58 in Fayetteville, 52 in Roxborough, 57 in Goldsboro. But once those clouds break up between now and lunchtime, temperatures will climb quickly. We'll see a high of 75 with sunny skies this afternoon.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Polls are now open in North Carolina for this year's primary election. Here's what you need to know before you head to the polls. Voting continues until 7:30 tonight. If you're in line when that time comes, you will still be allowed to vote. You'll also need to bring a valid photo ID. Votes will also be counted after polls close. Next on Fox 50, a look at the big races for this year's primary. And up next on Today, Annette Bening is live in studio.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at 8:30. We're following backups with two collisions right now in the Triangle. I'm going to show you how bad the backups are and the best alternate routes to consider.
And the low pressure system that brought us some showers and some cloud cover yesterday is moving on out. It's going to take the clouds with it, leaving us sunshine and warm temperatures this afternoon. I'll show you when we'll hit the 70s.
Across our state are now open for today's primary election. We'll have a breakdown of some of the biggest races.
And ShotSpotter in Durham will be no more. What was behind the council's decision to vote against a three-year contract with that technology? Very controversial, something we've been talking about for quite a bit. So we will get to that story coming up. But thanks for sticking with us on your Tuesday. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, thanks for having us in for news here as we get things rolling. You see the clouds.
Yeah.
It is mild, though, and it's going to get nice.
Yes.
I know there's been a little mist out there this morning, but Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center, the payoff a little bit later will be worth it.
It absolutely will be. That low is moving on out quickly. We just have a layer of moisture that's right here close to the surface, and the sunshine right above us is going to do a number on that and help to break those clouds up soon. We take a look at Futurecast, and you can see that clearing quickly between now and lunchtime, and then we'll see the temperatures climbing fast into the upper 60s by noon and mid-70s for highs this afternoon. But tomorrow's going to be a wet start to the day. We start to see the rain pushing in by around 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. Some of that's going to be heavy. You can see the yellow and red color contours there. Once we get to lunchtime, it begins to turn more scattered instead of just widespread across the viewing area. At any point, point, really, during the morning into the afternoon, there could be a rumble of thunder, but I'm not expecting anything severe out of this system. Look up above the clouds here. There are just some times this camera is exactly what you need to see. Lots of blue sky right above us. It's just a shallow deck of moisture with some cloud cover sitting here. That tower right there is our Mix 101.5 radio tower. So we're very close to seeing this cloud deck breaking up and that sunshine shining through. 57 is our current temperature. It's 52 in Roxborough, 58 in Fayetteville, 55 in Goldsboro. So not a bad day. I know we're still stuck in the clouds in most places right now, but we'll see sunshine by lunchtime at 68 and this afternoon 75 with lots of sun. We also have a chance for rain on Saturday. I'll show you how that could affect your weekend. Coming up, Brian.
It is 8:32 right now. Still tracking some pretty heavy delays on 40 westbound coming in from Johnston County. We had an earlier crash that closed all lanes right there at the Clayton Bypass. Those lanes now are open, but we do have activity on the right shoulder, and those backups begin right around the Sanders Road Bridge if you're coming in from the McGee's Crossroads area. So between 210 and 42, you're going to hit those backups. Heavy ramp delays building in both directions of 42 through the Cleveland community. Again, if you can pick up 40 westbound from the bypass, you're in good shape. So depending on where you are in the Cleveland area, you might consider using 42 to get out to the Clayton bypass and rejoining 40 westbound on the other side of those backups. I just checked our sensors, and we've been suggesting Highway 50 is a good alternate route if you're coming in from McGee's Crossroads. That has changed now because congestion has gotten so much worse there. It's going to save you time just to be stuck in that traffic on 40 westbound this morning. So go ahead and plan on a 20 to 30 minute delay as you're getting ready before you head out from the western side of Johnston County heading up toward Garner and Raleigh. We'll head over to the eastern side of Wake County right now. Still seeing some lingering delays on 64 westbound because of an earlier incident over on the right shoulder, right around the Edgemont Road Bridge. A lot of that is starting to clear up, but with those lingering backups, you might consider using 96 to 64 business as a good alternate route. We've also been watching a report of a crash on the northbound side of 885 in Durham, right around Ellis Road. Still seeing about a 4 minute delay overall on sensor. Well, you see that live update now. It just jumped up to a 7 minute backup. So we'll keep our eyes on that for you. Take a look at those major approaches into Raleigh at the moment. Looking at a 7 minute delay coming in from Wake Forest as well on southbound Capitol Boulevard from 98 to 540.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, people in New Orleans are bracing for another round of severe weather today. Look at what they're already dealing with after heavy flooding from Monday's storm. That storm bringing heavy rain. You can see people can barely make their way around New Orleans. Many of the streets are impassable. Thousands of customers are still without power this morning. A flash flood warning in effect for parts of southeast Louisiana. Again, more severe weather heading to New Orleans this morning again.
Flood-prone area. Ken, thanks for that. Polls are open now in North Carolina, 2 hours into it now for this year's primary election. Hundreds of thousands of people will be headed to voting booths to decide who will be on the ballot for the general election in November. Here's what you need to know before you head out to the polls today. Voting continues until 7:30 tonight. If you're in line when that time comes, you will still be allowed to vote. And this year, you'll need to bring a photo ID to your polling place. That can be a driver's license, passport, or other form of ID approved by the Board of Elections. There'll be a slight delay in getting results this year because of a new law that doesn't allow any votes to be counted until after the polls close.
And there are a few big races here in North Carolina. WRAL's Laura Levine joins us from Briar Creek Community Center. Laura, tell us about the ones voters will see on the ballot today.
Michelle, North Carolina is among 16 other states as well that will have voters head to polls just like this one here in Briar Creek to help select the major party nominees for this November's presidential election. It is also the day where North Carolina voters will select major party nominees for governor and a host of other statewide offices. Starting with the primary for the Republican presidential nomination, former President Donald Trump addressed voters Saturday in Greensboro, confident he'll be the one to take on President Biden. And Nikki Haley, former UN ambassador, views this Super Tuesday as an off-ramp for many Republicans and unaffiliated voters desperate to move the country forward. The primary elections for governor will set up one of the most watched gubernatorial races in the nation. The Democratic field includes Attorney General Josh Stein, former State Supreme Court Associate Justice Mike Morgan, former Police Chief Gary Fox, and Tryon Town Council member Cherrell Booker. The Republican field features Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, former prosecutor and trial attorney Bill Graham and state treasurer Dale Falwell. We have numerous other statewide races from insurance commissioner to Attorney General, Superintendent of Public Education, Lieutenant Governor, and more. And voters in different areas of the state will also vote in regional races ranging from the U.S. House of Representatives down to state legislative seats, judges, and other positions. So in the next half hour at 9 a.m., we're going to break down some information you may need to know before you head to the polls. There's a lot of changes this year, as well as when we'll see the results. Laura Levine, WRAL News, live in Raleigh.
And with all this, a reminder, some students in school districts have the day off because of Election Day. Dozens of schools are polling sites, and they're open to voters and volunteers. Wake, Orange, Johnston County schools will not hold classes today, as well as Chapel Hill, Carrboro City schools. Students in Durham Public Schools, though, and Cumberland County schools do have class today.
And we'll have the fastest election results as they're counted on WRAL TV, WRAL.com, and the WRAL News app. Look for updates on all the big races every 30 minutes after the polls close on WRAL News Plus. You can find that on Channel 34, Over the Air, Spectrum Channel 1257, your smart TV and mobile devices. Throughout the night, on air and online, we'll have insight and analysis from our NC Capitol team. And for national coverage, NBC News will have a full wrap-up of Super Tuesday results from across the country at 10 p.m. on WREL, and our team of reporters will have you covered with all the local races at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 o'clock on WREL.
Students at Wake County Schools may soon come home with information for their parents on how to safely store guns. This plan is to educate families on safe gun storage. It's something the school board will consider today. WREL's Kelsey Coffey shares the reason behind this push to educate families about gun safety.
Offering resources and information to parents about safe gun storage. That's the topic that's up for discussion today here at the Wake County School District headquarters. Although it's not common for students to bring guns to school, it does happen. In the last year, at least three adults have been charged after a student brought a gun to school in Wake County. In February 2023, the mother of a Wendell Middle Schooler was charged for improper storage. Last September, charges were filed against a woman after a gun was brought to Lead Mine Elementary. And in December, a man was charged after a student brought a gun to Fuquay Verena Middle, then fired it through a window. We checked in with WRAL Education Insider Emily Walkenhorst ahead of today's discussion. She says this isn't just about warning parents to lock away their guns.
It's also about reminding parents that you can be held responsible if your child does access a gun, especially if police later find out that the gun was not adequately or properly stored.
We're not expecting a decision to come out of today's meeting, just a discussion. And that meeting is scheduled for this afternoon at 2:30. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, and Carrie.
Also on this topic, next week, the WRAL documentary unit debuts its latest film, Unsafe North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence. It sets out to uncover why kids in the North Carolina area are 51% more likely to die from gun violence compared to young people in other states. Documentary includes a personal story from a family who experienced the grief of gun violence firsthand. You can watch it on WRAL online or on the app at 7:30 next Wednesday, March 13th.
Durham will not be bringing back the gunshot detecting technology ShotSpotter. City Council voted against entering a three-year contract with the service after hearing strong opinions from people who think it doesn't work or that it promotes over-policing. Council members voted 4-2 against the plan after hearing an hour of public comment on the topic during last night's meeting. In their debate, some said it is a tool that can improve police response time and save lives, while others argued it is not worth the cost.
ShotSpotter, even if it worked as intended, which as the data is in front of us today, does not even seem to do that, it does not do the one thing that community is calling on us to do, which is life-saving requests of prevention.
No one ever said that ShotSpotter was going to reduce gun violence. No one said that. That argument was created and then refuted as part of the discussion.
Mayor Leo Williams and Mayor Pro Tem Mark Anthony Middleton cast the two votes for the technology, arguing it's a tool that can help improve police response times and save lives. It would have cost the city more than $650,000.
A Wake County firefighter faces 20 counts of child sex crimes in Guilford County. Charges against 34-year-old Andrew Kinsey include a sexual exploitation of a minor. He resigned on February 27th. Kinsey had worked with the Northern Wake Fire Department since 2019. 8:41 the time right now on our Tuesday. And still ahead, a French street artist is leaving his mark across the world.
The artwork that's invading the streets of Paris ahead of the Summer Olympics. It is 8:44, tracking this low pressure system that was moving up the coast yesterday. It is moving away, but it's left some moisture here, just enough for a deck of low cloud cover this morning. We're going to see those low clouds moving on out of here pretty quickly. This is a look at Futurecast for today, and you can see the clearing from southwest to northeast pretty fast here between now and, say, 11 o'clock or so. That's going to bring us lots of sunshine and warm temperatures. We'll climb to 75 degrees this afternoon. But very quickly, our next system rolls in. It will be with us for the morning commute tomorrow. You can see by 8 o'clock, that rain spreading across most of the viewing area and heavy at times too. You can see the yellow and orange color contours. That's an indication of some heavy rain, possibly a rumble of thunder, but I wouldn't expect to see a lot of thunderstorms out of this. Once we get past lunchtime, it kind of scatters out. We're not finished with the rain, but certainly the heaviest and the most amount of rain that we'll end up seeing will be in the morning hours. We could still see a few scattered showers through the afternoon into the evening. Take a look at our tall tower camera. This is in eastern Wake County looking west. Lots of sunshine. We just have this fairly shallow deck of clouds that's sitting over most of the viewing area right now. That sunshine will help to break that up, and also the movement of that low away from us will allow that to break up as well. 57 is our current temperature, so it's on the mild side to start with. 56 in Southern Pines and Rocky Mount. It's 52 in Roxboro, but we'll definitely see our temperatures warming quickly as soon as those clouds break, looking at a high of 75. So not a bad election day. Not looking at any more rain for today, fortunately. Lots of warmth. Even tomorrow when we end up with some showers, all the way into the weekend, we'll have a good chance for above normal temperatures, but below normal temperatures start to creep in across parts of the south as we get into next week, and Monday will be noticeably cooler. Our normal high is 60, 75 today. Today will be the warmest day of the week with all that afternoon sunshine. Tomorrow's going to be wet. Thursday, pretty nice too, with some sunshine at 72, but Saturday looks wet again, and for much of the day, especially from the Triangle area southward. You know, this time of year, it can be nice to see some rain. It tends to bring our pollen levels down. We're still just looking at moderate for trees, but I'm going to say probably within the next 2 weeks, we start to see that number really climbing and some of that yellow pine pollen getting a little messy. That tends to happen during the month of March. So rain steady to heavy in the morning tomorrow, tapering off a little bit during the afternoon. Saturday, we'll see scattered showers, especially in the southern half of the viewing area. And don't forget Saturday, we spring forward to daylight time. Thanks, Elizabeth. Friends and loved ones of a Moore County woman who was found dead last summer will hold a vigil in her honor tonight. The vigil for Alicia Watts is happening tonight at 6 o'clock at the West Southern Pines Cultural Arts Center. Organizers say they want to keep her memory alive and fight for justice in her case. Watts vanished in July after going to visit her boyfriend, James Dunmore, in Charlotte. Weeks later, her body was found in Montgomery County. Dunmore was later arrested and is facing a murder charge.
Scientists are warning drinking small amounts of soda can be harmful to your health. A new study reveals drinking just 2 cans of soda per week can still lead to decreased heart health, even if you consistently exercise. Health data from over 100,000 adults studied over 30 years. Researchers found the average workout routines do not offset the harm caused by sugary drinks. Doctors say water is the best option for hydration.
An apartment building boom and other slowing trends may be causing rent prices to fall. According to Redfin, renters can expect a break as landlords lower rates thanks to an influx of available properties. Rental prices reached record highs last year, largely due to high mortgage costs, but those have since plummeted thanks to many newly built and vacant property. Experts also say that initial rent hikes were triggered by some people relocating during the pandemic, a trend that has also slowed down.
Another streaming service may be getting ready to crack down on password sharing. A new report says HBO Max will pull the plug on allowing users to share their accounts outside of their household later this year. Netflix already started cracking down on password sharing. Disney Plus and Hulu plan to implement similar rules this summer. HBO Max has not yet announced when its crackdown will begin.
The work of a mysterious French street artist is getting a lot of attention leading up to this summer's Olympic Games in Paris. The French street artist, who goes by the name Invader, is leaving pieces of his pixelated mosaics around the world including Paris. He's even created a mobile game to get supporters of his work more involved. It already has more than 350,000 downloads. Paris is the artist's most invaded city. Some believe more Olympic-themed artwork will start popping up closer to the games.
You can celebrate and support our local arts community this Thursday when WRAL presents Big Night In for the Arts. Features amazing artists including Pierce Freelon and Tift Merritt, a live performance by award-winning bluegrass musician Trey Wellington, and more. Help us raise funds to create healthy, vibrant communities through the arts. Watch and donate Thursday at 7 on WRAL and wherever you stream WRAL.
A blockbuster film gets a live-to-film concert experience. New details revealed about the upcoming iHeartRadio Music Awards and more. Here's Ashley Dvorkin with The Hollywood Nation.
May I ask you to describe Thomas Ripley?
A look at Ripley, Jamie and Corinne re-team, and Barbie plans a trip in The Hollywood Nation. Barbie the Movie in Concert Tour kicks off this summer. The live-to-film concert experience brings the record-breaking blockbuster to life with an all-women orchestra performing the score and soundtrack live as the movie plays on the big screen. Attendees are encouraged to dress up in pink as well as sing and dance along. The production begins its 37-city trek July 2nd in Tampa, Florida.
Let's give away another
one!
Jamie and Corinne Fox will head back to the Beat Shazam stage. The father-daughter duo return for season 7 of the hit Fox game show, which returns May 28th.
I never letting you go.
The 2024 iHeartRadio Music Awards revealed the star-studded performance lineup. Justin Timberlake, Green Day, Jelly Roll, and Lainey Wilson are among the artists rocking the stage. The ceremony will also feature a special musical tribute to this year's Icon Award recipient, Cher. It airs live from the Los Angeles Dolby Theater April 1st, only on Fox.
He's a liar. It's his profession.
And Netflix released the official trailer to the suspense thriller series Ripley. The new adaptation of the 1955 novel, The Talented Mr. Ripley, stars Andrew Scott as con artist Tom Ripley, who gets caught up in a web of murder and lies after traveling to Italy to convince an old acquaintance to return home to America. The show starts streaming April 4th.
This is what I do for a living.
That was Ashley Dvorkin reporting.
We're getting our first look at the remake of the 1994 movie The Crow. Bill Skarsgård and FKA Twigs are starring in this new version, which is due out in June. Skarsgård plays the character made famous by Brandon Lee, who died during the filming of the original movie in Wilmington.
Former NC State quarterback Russell Wilson will be looking for a new job in the next NFL season. The Denver Broncos say they'll release the 35-year-old next week when the new NFL year officially begins. Wilson's 2 years in Denver were disappointing, with the Broncos missing the playoffs both years. The nine-time Pro Bowler was benched near the end of last season.
ESPN's College Game Day is coming to Durham. The Game Day team will be at Cameron Indoor Stadium Saturday morning for part two of the Battle of the Blues. Duke's looking for revenge on its home court after UNC beat the Blue Devils at the Dean Smith Center last month. Doors open for Game Day at Cameron Indoor, 9:30 Saturday morning. The show starts at 10. Admission is free. So apparently Taylor Swift's songwriting skills may be somewhat genetic. The performer is related to famed poet Emily Dickinson. According to a new analysis from Ancestry.com, it found Swift and Dickinson are sixth cousins, three times removed. Still counts, though. Swift mentioned Dickinson's influence during her 2022 acceptance speech for the Songwriter Artist of the Decade Award from the Nashville Songwriters Association International.
Still counts.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. All right. Before we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic coming up next.